everybody, and welcome to, bear with me, dear listener, March's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. We're a week late, but I think it's all good. And with more permutations than, I was trying to think of a clever way of doing this, lads, before, and the only game I could come up with was Granny's Garden on the ZX Spectrum. So with more permutations than Granny's Garden on the ZX Spectrum, the NPL show returns to discuss the running. And here to discuss the running with me, we've got Simo, Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm really well, but I must point out that T-Got puts permutations in caps, so you need to say permutations like TalkSport.
James Hayes is here, by the way, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James.
Good evening, Ben. How are you doing?
And also with us, making his debut for the 21-22 season, it's Luke Edwards from 26-0. Hello, Luke. How are you?
The better half of 26-0. Hello, yeah.
That's right. Berkey's been hogging the limelight for a long time now, so we felt it was about time that you joined us. We need to talk about the run-ins and stuff. We should say, during the break, we're going to be talking about Workington against Warrington Rylands, a bit of step four action this weekend in the Old West Division. Those two going head-to-head. Huge game. Stick with us later in the show for a little preview of that fixture. But let's start with you, Simo. Right, I've got cue cards here. I've been to Vinyl. I don't know if anyone's been to Vinyl Exchange in Manchester, but what happens is you get given like library card things, inlays to return if there's ever a problem. But they make cracking cue cards as well. So that's what I've written all these out on. Vinyl Exchange, there's a plug for you. You're welcome. Where is this title race? Is it just the top two now with four rounds of fixtures left?
Yes, it is. And even that's the noises coming out of Matlock now. And we'll come on to them shortly. But they've started talking about, we need to secure our place in the playoffs, which tells you a little bit about where they're at. I don't think that's unreasonable, by the way, judging by their form. But to answer your question directly, yes, it's down to two teams. But out of those two teams, to me, there's only one showing any signs of winning it at the moment, even though the gap is 2 points. Buxton, our leaders, are 12 Premier Division games now without defeat. South Shields is in some ways a bit of a miracle that they're as close as they are, because they've not won any of the past eight away games and have only won two of the past league games. So how on earth they're hanging on? But obviously we do know that Buxton had to do the kind of overtaking manoeuvre of Matlock and South Shields. So that gives you a bit of context. But yeah, it's down to two teams. Both have got tricky games in their remaining four. So it's not a gimme that they're both going to pick up 12 points. I would suggest maybe there is at least one more twist to come, but I do make Buxton favourites.
Just to say, James, with regards to the maths of this, Matlock are on 66 points. If they win all four remaining games, that would take them up to 78. It's a tall ask for Buxton now, who are on 74, not to be able to get to that 78 points tally. So I think that's fair enough, isn't it, James? Although you won't be cap locking any tweets at the moment saying South Shields or Buxton have won the league at this point.
No, well, that's going to potentially come down to Buxton v Matlock on the Bank Holiday Monday game. Let's not forget that's still got to come ahead at Buxton. But I do feel like, especially with Matlock's recent form, pretty much looking at getting home advantage now in the playoffs, if anything. He might still catch South Shields at this moment in time to get that second place. Home advantage for Matlock over Scarborough and potentially some of the other teams we mentioned in a couple of minutes. It's going to be a big, big save there. If Scarborough get third place, that's a home game on a 4G pitch. So there's a lot more saying it this year than in the past, although it might not mean anything because, again, 1-2 to South Shields and beat them in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Well, South Shields' home advantage is pretty important, I'm going to suggest, to South Shields. Luke, just to say what the run-ins are for the top two, Grantham at home, Micklover away, Matlock at home, Stalybridge away for Buxton. So only one of those teams is currently involved in this playoff stroke title race in those remaining four games for Buxton. For South Shields, they've got Stalybridge, FC away and Whitby at home, finishing things off with Grantham away. So on paper, anyway, Luke, South Shields have got two playoff chasers in the mix in their remaining four fixtures. Buxton have only got one. So I don't know what that means. I just thought it looked interesting to say.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, for me, Buxton are the favourites. Matlock could put a spanner in the works, but it depends on the other results up until then. But like I say, they've got to go to FC. We were still going for the playoffs, so that'll be a tough game for them. And I saw them at Ashton about 3 weeks ago, and after the first 10 minutes when he thought, we can't pass our way out of this, they just had no plan B. Whereas at home, obviously, they just kind of bulldoze the teams. You could see them maybe winning away at Grantham. You can't see them winning it against FC. I can see them beating Whitby. So it's how they... I think that FC game is pivotal for South Shields, a bit like the Matlock one potentially for Buxton. Now Grantham have got nothing to play for. Will they be a bit freer, even though they've got Buxton at home? But definitely my money's on Buxton, I feel, just.
Okay. Well, that's the top two. And like I said, look out for that cap lock tweet whenever it arrives for a decision on who wins the league. But it does look like it's going to go a few more weeks yet, which is very, very exciting. Now, the playoffs. Simo, we've already touched upon Matlock, but just to touch upon their closing four matches, it starts this weekend with Basford away, then Nantwich at home, Buxton away, Warrington at home. Now, I know we are going to, obviously we're going to touch upon Basford in a bit more detail later, but they need the points all of a sudden because of Witten's resurgence. So that's tough, isn't it, for Matlock? But then again, as James says, South Shield 6 points up the road with 12 points to play for. So who knows?
Yeah, like I say, I think I was reading Paul Phillips' comments before we come on air tonight, and there's definitely a kind of shift in their positioning of where they find themselves. And when you read out that fixture list, you kind of understand why they're doing that repositioning, because Buxton away, Warrington home, in the last two games, it doesn't get much more difficult than that. So you can see why they want to make sure at the very least. And of course, the season that they've had, it would be a... Oh, could go all talks, but it would be a catastrophe if they didn't make the playoffs. Let's have it right, because of where they've been during the course of the season. Although,
if you look at where they've been, where they've come from, I think
that's a really good point. And actually, that Philo makes that argument in his quote, saying there is a kind of bigger picture here, a broader body of work of where we've come from, and to be even in the conversation for the title, even if that's now looking out of reach, but certainly been in the conversation for the title as long as they have, very much in with a chance of getting in the playoffs. Overall, it's absolutely job well done. But this kind of funk that they're in has lasted way longer than they would have liked, maybe that we would have expected. And they've not scored in any of the last three games. Three successive nil-nil draws is pretty remarkable. They just need to make sure that, you know, they give themselves that chance going into the playoffs. Home advantage would be nice. But I think at the moment, with others jostling for position, it would just be, look, let's finish in the top five and then try to regroup for the playoffs and see what happens. But they're the most out of form of the teams we're going to talk about in this playoff segment.
James, just to say about this home advantage, what we're saying here is, for those people unaware of how the playoff system works, because, well, let's be honest, we've not had one in a couple of years, have we? When it comes to home advantage, the team who's highest gets home advantage, whatever the fixture. So if South Shields finish second, for example, they'll be at home against the fifth place side. If South Shields progress, they'll be at home for the final. And third will host fourth in the semi-final. I mean, it is important, but it is looking like second is probably sorted. So it is about home advantage for the semi-final at least. That then takes us to Warrington. They've got Stafford at home, Atherton away, Witten at home, and they finish off with Matlock away. Is it destined for that game at the end of the season there, those two going head-to-head, to be really, really important, James, do you feel?
Potentially, but you look at all four games realistically, and that's not an easy running for Warrington. Because then, obviously, Stafford Rangers, we know what they've been like the last couple of weeks. They've found when they're on form or they've gone that little bit of a draw streak, they can drag it out and make teams pay for it. Everton, Corus, Witten, Albion again, that's going to be potentially a vital 3 points. So it could potentially come down to the Matlock game and with home advantage at stake.
That is a tough running. But let's talk about Scarborough, Luke. Ashton away, Gainsborough at home, Morpeth away, Radcliffe at home. Scarborough on 64 points, the same as Warrington as we head towards this crucial closing couple of weeks of the season. What's your thoughts on Scarborough's running?
Yeah, I mean, they were flying up until last week. They hit the buffers a little bit, didn't they? But Ashton, probably playing Ashton at a good time. They've got lots of injuries. They've also got a Manchester Premier Cup final on Monday, which they've got one eye on. Gainsborough's away form's pretty poor. They've won two away all season. So, yeah, I think he could get crash at third place. It's unlikely, but they're definitely going to finish fourth or fifth, I think.
Do you reckon they've got the best... When you talk about Matlock's form, Warrington's running, Scarborough should feel confident, Simo, of getting third, if I can say that. But it'll be interesting to know how they react to that setback last week, because they've not had one for donkeys, have they?
No, 14 Premier Division games without defeat. I mean, losing away to Nantwich, at the moment, it's become a very difficult away game because of the run of form that the Dabbers have put together. So I don't think it's it's a shocker to have lost narrowly down there. I fully expect them to bounce back, and I kind of see where Luke was going. I think Scarborough will finish third. I think they will finish third, and which sets them up beautifully to go into the playoffs. And probably is a reflection, actually, of the season. They probably have been the third best team. Probably going to get shouted at for saying that, but I think they probably have.
They weren't at the start, though, were they, Luke? It has been a slow burner, but they've been so impressive in the second half of the season.
They have hit form at the right time in the second half of the season. And as I say, they only got a draw last week, but they can get back on track this weekend against Ashton and then Gainsborough. They'll go into the last couple of games with confidence.
Now, that's the top five as things stand. Do I go to part two now? I should go to part two because there's a lot to discuss, isn't there, about the chasing pack.
So, you're the editor, Ben.
This is an on-air production meeting, Luke. This is why you win podcasts. Ah. This is why you win podcast awards and I don't. I like the rough and ready approach. I think what we'll do is, I think we'll close off part one there because there is, you know, we've discussed five teams there and there's probably another six teams we have to discuss when it comes to the playoff race. So we will return to the promotion race in the NPL Premier Division in a second. But before that, there is a huge game this weekend. The top of the West Division at the moment sees Warrington Rylands out in front by 1 point over Workington. Workington with a fantastic 4-0 win on Tuesday night over Bootle. So, you know, the title race is definitely on in the West Division. And guess what, dear listener? Workington and Warrington Rylands go head-to-head this Saturday. So, with a view now for the visiting team, Warrington Rylands, currently leaders, let's hear from Dave McNabb, who I caught up with on Friday. Well, Dave, a big thank you for joining us. And just before we get to this big game this weekend against Workington, let's just set the scene. Warrington Rylands have been in the playoffs for most of the season, but a brilliant run and results you've been stringing together recently has put you in this position now where you're top of the league. What's the mood in the camp like as we're towards this big six-pointer on Saturday?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think the players are very much bought in what we're trying to do. I think we've largely been trying to play really good football. The players enjoy the way that we're playing. And there's a really good feel-good factor about the place at the moment. And that's obviously a lot of it down to results and performances. But it's also about the group as well. And I think as a club, we've created an environment where the players can go and enjoy themselves. And I think that's starting to come to fruition in terms of the performances and the results.
Now, when it comes to, you know, the sequence of a season and the progress that's made, to come good at this point where, you know, there's only a handful of games left, do you factor that into training and you know, your processes where, you know, you get to a point where it's all inbuilt in the players and they can go on a run like this where, I think, how many games unbeaten now is it? It's 10, isn't it? Or thereabouts that you're on at the moment?
Yes. Look, we're constantly trying to be better. And I think that's something that we all strive upon, not just myself, but people behind the scenes of the club, the coaching staff, and the players, and we're trying to work on things. I think early in the season we were a little bit sloppy defensively at times where we can see the goals. We spent a lot of sessions on the training pitch working on those type of things, trying to defend better as a team, not just about individuals, but as a team. We haven't really had many problems scoring goals. I think throughout the season we scored 91 in the league, so we're certainly the top goal scorers in the league. And it's just about trying to find that balance. And like I said, everyone's bought into what it is we're trying to do. And I think there's an element of good form coming at a good time is always advantageous. It's something we've been a little bit critical of ourselves in the past, that we've never really been on sort of 5-6 game runs before where we've won games, and you know, all due respect, it's not an easy thing to do in this league. You know, there's some fantastic teams all the way through. So we have been a little bit inconsistent, I think, earlier in the season. I think we've started to rectify that now, and hopefully we can keep that run going between now and the end of the season.
And it's noticeable as well. There's obviously, like we touched upon here, there's not too much wrong with the team to begin with, but you've just added a bit of experience, haven't you, in recent weeks and months, with Scott Bacall coming in, Steve Irwin, a cracking midfielder. How important is that level of experience in and around the squad that you've added for this running?
I think it's been massive, and I think what we've got now in the group is a really good mix. We've got players who are really experienced, played at a much higher level. You know, Dean's a full international, played sort of 58 games for South Africa. We've got lads who played in the league, played in sort of higher levels of non-league. And then we've also got quite a young group of players as well, where, you know, there's an element of fearlessness about them, lots of ability and potential. And they really get on together. You know, it is a really good, strong group. And I think that's been a massive part into the running. Obviously, the players that we've had sort of, as we've gone out through the season, we've sort of constantly evolved, and I think that's always going to happen when a team comes into a new league. I think obviously you set your stall off at the start of what your aims and goals are, but you're always confident the team will be stronger towards the end of the season than what it is at the start.
Now, on this week's monthly show, we're talking about the Premier Division predominantly, and everyone's got 4 games left, but you're in a unique situation where you've actually only got 3 games left. So this game against Workington, really, really important, to say the least. Without giving too much away of the game plan, what is the process ahead of the Workington game to make sure, you know, everyone's aware of how big this game is? I mean, I suppose there's not much reminding needed, really.
No, and look, I think this is, you know, one of those games you hear people talking about it, you know, at all levels of the game, where there's a game where you don't need to do much work to sort of get the lads up for and get the team, you know, ready to go into what's a really sort of important game. And the lads are buzzing, you know, they can't wait. They've done unbelievably well to get themselves into a position where this game matters so much, and all credit to them for that. And obviously they want to go out and they're excited. Obviously there's going to be a few nerves on both sides as well, but more than anything, they're excited, and they deserve to be playing in these type of games for the performances this season. So I'm just made up that we've got ourselves into that position. We hope that we go into Saturday, do ourselves justice, and put on a really good performance, and hopefully we can take the 3 points.
Regardless of what happens as well, we should say, I mean, that before Christmas, this league was looking like it was going to be a battle between Workington and Marine. But, you know, the run you've been on has just propelled you to this situation now, where it's looking increasingly likely whoever finishes second is going to get home advantage, it looks like, in the playoffs. So it's just been a phenomenal first season at this level, hasn't it, for Warrington Rylands, whatever happens now?
Yeah, it was. And I think the key, obviously, coming into the season, obviously, we come on a massive high at the FA Bars. The key was to try and build some foundation blocks that would allow us to carry on sort of performing at a higher level consistently over the next year or two. And I think, obviously, our aim was to try and sneak into the playoffs. We thought, you know, if we can get sort of fourth, fifth, let's go into the playoffs, let's give it a go and let's see what happens. Obviously, the run that we've been on towards the, I think, since sort of post-Christmas time, really. I think the league defeat just before Christmas was a bit of a turning point for us. Since then, I think our form's been exceptional. And, you know, it's there now for the taking. It's in our own hands. It's not going to be easy. And it's not just about this Saturday either. But, like you said, there's 3 games left. And, you know, 1874 and Bootle are fantastic teams as well. Workington have still got to go to Marine. Marine is still in with a shout. Leek are only a point behind Marine. It's just all to play for.
Yeah, it's been a cracking division, hasn't it? And just a final thought, Dave, because obviously, like we said, we are coming towards the end of the season now. So many twists and turns. What a division to be a part of. Certainly a great advert for this level of the division, having the likes of Warrington Rylands competing with Workington and Marine and Leek and Runcorn and Clitheroe and Bootle, and I've started listing. But, I mean, it's just been a great season, hasn't it?
It has, and you know, we didn't really know what to expect, obviously, with this being a bit of the restructure. You never know how that's going to affect the quality across divisions. Obviously, there's now more Step 4 teams in the sort of in the area, so you never know how that's going to affect performances and quality of the divisions. And I've only seen very few games from the other two divisions at this level, within the Northern Premier League structure. But I know that our league's been as strong as we've seen in previous years. You know, the quality from top to bottom is just outstanding. And every team's played its part. And so what's been, I think, has been a really, really good season post sort of pandemic. Obviously, there was always concerns whether people would still want to be playing football or whether they'd gone into new activities or things take over your life a little bit, don't they, when you've got a lot of spare time. And, you know, I think credit to everyone who's been part of it and kept clubs going over that pandemic period and to come back stronger than ever this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dave McNabb, manager of Wadsworth Islands, best of luck tomorrow on Saturday afternoon as we record this, and best of luck for the running as well, and catch up very soon, my friend.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Dave McNabb there, Warrington Railings manager, and we'll be discussing Workington in the next break coming up shortly for this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Workington hosting Warrington Railings this weekend. Big thanks to Dave McNabb, manager of Warrington Railings, for joining us on this month's show. James Hayes is with us. Hello, James, for this March edition of the NPL show. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Ben, yourself?
Good. Yeah, Simo's here as well. Hello, Simo.
Hello.
And also joining us, Luke Edwards here from 26-0. Hello, Luke.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, good. Oh, I should say, there is a Step 4 show out this week as well, which has more discussion about the promotion races in the West Division, the East Division and the Midlands Division. And speaking of promotion races, let's go to part two of our discussion about the NPL Premier Division now. Who's to start with? Let's go to Simo. Simo, is it the top five? Is that done? Is that it? Should Whitby, Bamber Bridge, FC United, Stafford, Morpeth and Lancaster all just get their holidays ready for the summer?
One or two of those should, but if we're going to go through one by one, we'll do that. But no, it's alive. It's alive because Matlock's form should encourage them. Warrington have also dropped points. If you look at their beautiful traffic light on football web pages, win, loss, win, loss. So they're not... they're giving away points, but what does apply to all of those contenders is they've probably all got next to no margin for error. They're probably all going to need four wins, and certainly if you Stafford or Morpeth, you're definitely going to need four wins just to put the pressure on. But Whitby are just about best positioned on 60 points. Nathan Hazen was on recently, wasn't he? He said he thinks they need to get to 70. So that's three wins and a draw from their last four matches. They have been a little bit inconsistent, Whitby, though, haven't they? They're not kind of looking likely to get 12 points to me, but they are in a good position. But I saw Bamber Bridge on Saturday, pretty comfortable winners against Witton, but I do wonder, again, they've had a really tough couple of months, haven't they? That win keeps it just about alive. They have improved a little bit, haven't they, in the last two or three weeks, but it's still a big ask to get four wins. But yeah, you've got to think that that chance is still there for you, because, you know, we've seen it so many times that somebody creeps in on the last day of the season, and I still think that's a possibility here.
Now, James, I'm going to start off with the team in 11th, Lancaster City. Now, I think Simo's right. I don't think there's any room for error here. It has to be four wins out of four. If Lancaster do that, that would take them up to 68 points. It's then a question of, can Matlock, Warrington and Scarborough all get to that total? Those three teams do have better goal difference. The question we have to start with, though, James, is can Lancaster win their remaining four matches? They've got Witton at home, Stalybridge away, Bamber Bridge at home, Michelover away. Mm. I would suggest, with all due respect to those four teams I just mentioned, that it's plausible and possible for Lancaster to win their four remaining matches there. Thoughts?
You're right in MD, but it's more a case of can they take it to the Bamber Bridge game and still be in that playoff race a little bit. But yeah, Lancaster City done well to keep in that little race, especially after the little run over Christmas, January, where they just couldn't get a win from anywhere, if I remember correctly. Had they beat Buxton, they were right in there. But I think I remember saying about two, 3 weeks ago on the weekly show that they had to go pretty much unbeaten for the season and match Buxton's unbeaten record to get up there. Yeah, if they can get to the Bamber Bridge game and still be in contention, then, obviously we've got a little bit of an eliminator match there as such.
I just think, there's slightly too much for Lancaster to do. They're operating with a small squad. They haven't conceded many goals over the last few weeks. We spoke to Felly, me and Berkey after Hydro up there the other week, and he was a bit glum in general, you know, with all sort of with all the injuries and stuff. He almost struck me as a he wanted the season to end. But
don't you think he's changed though, Luke, recently? Because these results that he's been stringing together, it has put them back in the hunt. And it, like I said, this running here, I mean, when I spoke to Mark a few weeks back, this is the running I was talking about. And he had a glint in his eye, even though it was a phone interview. I could tell.
Do you know what, Ben? Because obviously, I think they'd lost, I can't remember, I think they'd lost 4 in a bounce before he played high. Then they drew 0-0, and then they've been on a beaten run since. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's kind of, they've all just relaxed and thought we weren't going to get in the playoffs. And that's just brought the results about. And all of a sudden, they have got a sniff. But I just feel they have slightly got, there is slightly too much for them to do, realistically. I mean, again, you look at Wickie there, they always seem to start really strong and fade away again. I think, potentially, you're looking at, I think FC United could get that last playoff spot.
Oh, he knows what show he's on, doesn't he?
Simo. Got a rampant high last game of the season.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, look, thankfully, I think you're safe now, so that game doesn't matter for you a lot. Although I'm sure you'll make it matter for some reason. Don't know why.
We'll be in fancy dress and everything, so.
Simo, that's Lancaster. Moving on to Morpeth, their target points tally is 69 points now. They're on 57 at the moment. Their running, though, is exceptionally tricky. FC this weekend, Bamber Bridge away, Scarborough at home, Atherton away, finishing things off. I mean, that's challenging, isn't it?
It is, and obviously I saw them up close on Tuesday. You have to factor in that they'd done a long trip to Matlock on Saturday, coming into that game on Tuesday. But it's interesting how you queued that up there, because they looked like a team to me that just about run out. I mean, I was talking to Mark Carruthers about this. The thing with Morpeth in their trajectory is that when Craig Lynch took the job, they were bottom of the table. And he was told, he said to you last week, keep us up, you know, oh, let's see if we can get to mid-table. Let's see if we can do a sneaky late charge to get in the playoffs. So I think, a little bit like you said about big picture stuff for Philo before, he's done an absolutely tremendous job to pull them clear. They've had the cup runs as well this season. So objectively, has done a fantastic job for Morpeth. But they just gave me the impression that they've just not got a lot left in the tank. And we've just been saying about no wriggle room, maybe needing 12 points. They didn't look like a team for me that's ready to pick up 12 points from those four games. He might get his reaction at the weekend, but I just can't see them piecing that together on the evidence that I saw. They only had three subs, so they're kind of like everybody at the moment, struggling with injury suspensions, that sort of thing. So what I'm trying to say is they've done brilliant, but I think they're just going to run out of road. I think they're just going to fall short, but that shouldn't take away from the fact that in the kind of unofficial manager of the year reckoning, I think his name should be on the shortlist.
But Morpeth have been here before, of course, so four more games to go for Morpeth and one last push as well for Stafford Rangers, James. Warrington away, Basford at home, Nantwich away, Ashton at home. I've got Simo's brain pattern in my head, and he's telepathically communicating with me exactly what he's just said there about Craig Lynch, and that the fact what Matt Hill's done at Stafford is brilliant, regardless of what happens this season and the outcome. But Stafford still got a chance for this playoff, James.
Yeah, I see the way they've come back through and became proper throughout the season, playoff contenders, I don't think they're completely out of this at the moment. If they can go get something against Warrington Town, you can't write them off at all, because especially with the last three games of the season, only a couple of weeks ago we were saying how long could this unbeaten run go. Yeah, they were getting draws. I think ultimately that's what's costing a full playoff run if they lose to Warrington on Saturday. But you can't rule them out this moment in time. They've got a favourable fixture list. Let's not forget, I said 2 years ago, before everything stopped for the campaign, we were talking, are they going to be serious relegation contenders? They've had two lots of stops and starts. Stafford Rangers are back as a force.
I agree, because I'm looking at the table now, and like you say, they've had the most draws of anyone in the top 10, but they've got the third best record in terms of defeats. Only Buxton and South Shield have lost less than them. So if they turn two or three of those draws into wins, they'd be right in the playoff mix. But the problem with Stafford has been over the last couple of years, and certainly in the first half of this season, is that they don't see many, but they didn't score many. They seem to have found the scoring feet now, and by the way, if you get a chance to see Tom Tonks' free kick, what a goal that was, by the way. Oh, yeah. I think Stafford will just miss out, but like James says, love going to Marsden Road. Great old stadium, good fan base there, and they'll be looking to build on that for next season.
That's Stafford Rangers, Simo. Let's go to SC United. Oh, by the way, I have to say, Warrington against Stafford this weekend feels like a really, really important game for both teams, just to say. Simo, how important is FC United's trip to Morpeth this weekend for both clubs?
Very for both. I think, as I said earlier, I think Morpeth's race might well be run, but they're still formidable opponents on home turf. It remains one of the most difficult away games on the Premier Division calendar. FC United have a little bit of form, scoring a few goals and picked up a couple of wins. They're keeping the flame very much alive. But to kind of revisit the theme of this segment, if they don't win all four, they're certainly probably going to need to win three of the last four to kind of give themselves a decent shout. And is Morpeth away one where they can chalk up a win? Possibly. Obviously, with going away to Italy midweek, you're not quite sure what that might have taken out of them. So it'd be interesting. You know, you come back midweek, then you've got to go to Morpeth. Not great scheduling for FC, although I know there was heavy rotation in the game in Milan. It was still everybody kind of going over there. So that's a factor as well. And I did make the point earlier, I think travel fatigue affected Morpeth at Wincham Park on Tuesday. So it's a little bit difficult to predict what might happen on Saturday. There's quite a few variables in the mix, actually.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because they played in, I know, Simo, you're an Inter Milan fan. They played in the old Inter Milan stadium, didn't they? And it was, I think the travel time, it's actually quicker to get to Milan than Morpeth. I'm not even joking. I think that's
true. Went on the plane. That's a fair comment.
Bamber Bridge. I mean, fair play. They're still in this, aren't they? They've got Hideaway, yep. Morpeth at home, Lancaster away, Nantwich at home. The Lancaster game obviously is going to be is a tough game, and Morpeth. What do you think of that running for Bamber Bridge? Because I'm looking at it and going, I can see Bamber Bridge getting 12 points there, and if they do that, then boom, isn't it? I mean, what's your thoughts on Bamber Bridge's chances?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the start of the season, they were the best team that I'd seen, certainly in a couple of opening months, and you thought, wow, but then they lost a couple of ownies, had a few injuries, they slipped down the table. And funny enough, a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at it going, well, Bamber Bridge will have nothing to play for. That's a home game we must win. Now it's flipped on its head. Hyde have not really got much to play for, but Bamber Bridge have. So it'll be interesting to see. As I say, Hyde have got the Manchester Premier Cup final on Monday against Ashton, so he may well rest a few as well and give some players who haven't been getting game time a start. Bamber, of course, it's on a 3D pitch as well, which will suit Bamber Bridge's passing game. So, similar to FC, Bamber Bridge don't tend to draw many. They've drawn five this year out of the 38 games. So, it's going to be an interesting game. And Bamber Bridge will look at this and target and go, do you know what? This is a game we need to win. And if you do, they'll certainly be pushing for the playoffs, depending on what Warrington and Scarborough do. However, if Hyde beat them and results go against them, you're probably putting them in the category of probably going to miss out.
But again, going back to what Simo said about Morpeth, and you know, I said about Stafford, for Bamber Bridge to be in this conversation is tremendous. It really is.
And Jamie Milligan's a great manager. He played great football as well. And I hope to get in there because it'd be good to see him, and they're really punching above the weight as well.
James, I'll come to you next. For the final team in this chasing pack just outside the playoffs, Whitby Town. They've got a game against Ratcliffe this weekend. Then they've got Ashton United at home, South Shields away, Gainsborough at home. It does feel, looking at that list of fixtures there, with all due respect to the teams that I'm implying will lose their matches, I have to tee these questions up a certain way. It feels like that it could rest on the South Shields game for Whitby, and that's going to be at Mariners Park. Whitby, because they're on 60 points, they could have a loss and still manage this.
Yeah, but again, like I said, the fact we've got FC United, Morpeth is coming Saturday, Bamber Bridge still got to play Lancaster, Stafford, Warrington as well. Ones that start dropping the points, maybe even Matlock as well, looking the 6 points ahead at this moment in time. But it says Whitby have just been very hot and cold. And again, it's just that Staley Bridge game is up. The Staley Bridge result from last Tuesday night, that sticks out to me quite a lot. And I think that's one of examples there. If they don't make the playoffs, they'll be looking at matches like that. That's cost them.
I mean, going back
How do you think they're going to do Saturday, Teagot? Then they've got your boys, Radcliffe.
Well, James has just done the team talk for them, Luke, which is nice.
Charitable of him, wasn't it?
I'm going to have a prediction just before we end part two, gentlemen, if that's all right. So brace yourself. Simo, are you prepared for this next question I'm about to ask?
Go for it.
Okay. Who's your top five?
Buxton are going to be promoted as champions, and the playoff picture, I think we are going to get our annual turnaround in the last couple of weeks of the season, and I think FC United are going to join Scarborough, Warrington and South Shields in the playoffs.
Okie dokie. James, I'm not coming to you because I've interviewed you in the past and Alan Alcock, and I know I'm not going to get anywhere. Luke, your thoughts on this top five? What? Go on, give us your prediction as a Hyde United.
I think Warrington will drop out. Okay. And it's either going to be Bamber Bridge or FC to get in, and I don't know who.
Wow.
Out of the two. I think Matt Huff will do just enough.
I mean, just to say, James, because I know you're not doing a prediction, when it comes to this buffer that this top five, the present top five, have already got, I mean, realistically, I mean, it's a good cushion. So it'd be asking a lot for this top five to move. But, and like we touched upon here about Whitby Town, I mean, potentially 9 points would do it for Whitby, and you know, you could take out the South Shields match, but is 69 points enough with Matlock on 66 and Warrington and Scarborough 64? I mean, it's so up in the air, really. I mean, we're going to find out, aren't we, in the next couple of weeks, maybe the next 4 weeks or thereabouts.
Let's not forget, a couple of weeks ago on one of the reviews, so that gap was 8-9 points. And we said, was anyone actually going to catch them up? Everyone's saying, no, it's over. There's your top five. Is anyone going to be brave enough to say the same thing again now?
Well, no. That's what's just happening.
To be fair, it wouldn't surprise me if that was a top five. But Ben's asked me if he thinks anyone will drop out. But I won't be shocked if it stayed that top five as well.
Well,
Buxton to win it, to win the league.
Well, big good luck to everyone involved in the title race and in this playoff race as well. And obviously, we'll be covering it off in more detail on next week's weekly show. Yeah, brilliant stuff from everyone involved. But we're going to end part two with an interview, as we discussed earlier. Big game in the West Division this Saturday as Warrington Rylands will be travelling up to Workington. We heard from Dave McNabb earlier. Let's hear from his counterpart now at Workington. It's a big welcome back to the show to Chris Wilcock. Well, Chris, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to this weekend's mammoth game up at the top of the West Division against Warrington Rylands, just a bit of a catch-up, really. I mean, a good 4-0 win at Bootle on Tuesday night. That's a cracking result there. So what's the mood like at the club as we head towards this six-pointer up at the top of the division?
No, I mean, the club are obviously buoyant after the result on Tuesday. You know, the squad itself are looking forward to the challenge on Saturday. And, yeah, we're all in good spirits. We're in good form. And looking forward to the game.
And for a long time, it was shaping up. It's a tussle between Workington and Marine, but Warrington Rylands have just come out of nowhere. So, I mean, they've been on such a good run. So what's your thoughts on the challenge this weekend?
Well, I mean, at certain stages in the season, ourselves, Marine and Rylands have had a good purple patch. You know, on other occasions as well, we've dropped some points at certain stages in the season. And that's why it's ended up as it is and made it extremely exciting for the back end of the season. So, yeah, it's, you know, both teams are in good form. Both teams are obviously playing exceptionally well. You know, they've outscored us this season so far, and defensively we've been exceptionally strong. So we'll see who comes out on top on Saturday.
And what have you made of the season more generally at Workington? Because going back to the seasons that never were, Workington, very, very unlucky, to say the least. So to have a season like you've just had as a club with four games to go, it's quite an achievement, I'm going to suggest, what's been achieved by yourself and the coaching staff and the players.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've had the horrendous disappointment of the COVID situation. With 9 games to go, they were in such a strong position in the 2019-20 season. Then we've had a couple of years of COVID. You know, before I arrived, Danny and Ruddy kept the squad together. You know, once I arrived, I was keen to see whether they still had the spirit and the stomach for another challenge this season. And, you know, as the lads have shown, they're still up for the fight after the big disappointment of not getting promoted in 2019-20. And that's only added extra motivation as the season's unfolded.
And that motivation, obviously, we should say you've got a game in hand over Warrington. So, I mean, it's a big game this weekend, but there's other opportunities, isn't there, just in case. But those opportunities, one of them, and I have to, I know it's one game at a time, Chris, but Marine next week, what a run-in, I suppose, is my question.
Well, obviously, Ben, it's, you know, people are seeing the three teams at the top playing each other in such a short space of time. And our focus is solely on Rylands at the moment. Tomorrow, and then we'll see what the outcome is at 5 o'clock, and then you know, we'll assess our situation from there and plan accordingly for next Saturday's game.
And just a thought about the home fans tomorrow. The attendance has been pretty good this year at Workington. We know how big the club is. How important are they going to be on Saturday?
Yeah, they're going to be extremely important. We've had a rally call throughout the week regarding. You know, getting people through the gate. We've been, you know, the support this season at home. We've had fantastic gates. And, you know, the support home and away this season has been immense. And I'm sure tomorrow we'll get behind the lads and look forward to giving us added incentive to go on and get a result.
And final question, Chris. Like I said, I mean, it's a run-in, to say the least. I think that's how we can describe Workington's next two games. But there's two games after that as well, isn't there? I mean, how much are you looking forward to this run-in? Because, you know, we've had the up and downs of the COVID seasons and that, but here we are nearly at the end. So this is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, we're at the business end of the season. You know, we've been looking forward to the run-in with 10 games to go. So we're down to four. This is our next challenge in front of us. We'll see what develops tomorrow. And then we'll look forward to the other three challenges as and when. But we're not looking too far ahead. Purely all about tomorrow at this moment in time.
Well, Chris Wilcock, manager of Workington. Big, big thank you for taking the time out your Friday to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. All the best for Warrington, Marine, Kendall and Market Drayton. And all the best for the running more generally. And we'll catch up very soon, my friend.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks a lot, mate.
So Workington hosting at Warrington Rylands in the West Division on Saturday afternoon, and a big good luck to both sides. And there's not going to be a cap locks tweet based on this result on Saturday, James, but certainly football web pages and BBC Radio Cumbria, of course, to track all this on Saturday.
Indeed, so obviously in that division as well, there may be a caps lock for some other playoff positions anyway.
Oh my goodness me. Speaking of which,
he loves it.
He really does, doesn't he? And speaking of which, on the Step 4 show, we'll be hearing from Runcorn, Linnets and Clivero this weekend, who are obviously still in the playoff race in the West Division. We're also going to be hearing in the Midlands from Belpertown and Stamford. And when it comes to the East Division, well, it's Liversidge and Mass United. It had to be done. I think those two go head-to-head next week, don't they, James? I think that's right.
Yeah, on the 16th. Oh, 16th, and it's saying a 3 o'clock kick-off.
So, yeah, that's on the Step 4 show on this channel. Now, Simo, we're going to finish the show talking about the bottom half of the table. And we should say, first off, big commiserations to Grantham. There's been plenty of twists and turns this year at Grantham. A couple of times we thought, oh, maybe Grantham are going to get out of this. But in the end, it was just a bit too much, wasn't it? So big commiserations to Grantham and all the best in pre-season. And good luck in hoping to bounce back to Step 3 next year. But Witten, Simo.
Yes.
This conversation was going to be slightly different, I think, last week. But something happened on Tuesday night, didn't it? And Witten Albion beating Morpeth, and all of a sudden, is it back on? Simo, is it back on?
Oh man, I don't know. It's still an enormous, enormous ask for them, but they have reignited the flame of hope a little bit. I mean, made up for them to have got the 3 points, and against an informed opponent, by the way, who just come off a long run of positive results and had got a really good draw at Matlock the previous game. So to kind of turn Morpeth over in the way in which they did it, going 2-1 down after two calamitous goalkeeping mistakes, and then to still find a way back into the match, actually was genuinely admirable and something that they've not done for so long. I mean, now kind of a couple of days on when you reflect on it, there's a little bit of frustration of where on earth has that performance been for 2 months? Because just three or four more examples of that and they would have still been right in the thick of the battles. There's a little bit of frustration that a performance like that has come out so late in the day. But you're right, it just about keeps their hopes alive. It is a really tough run-in though, Ben. You know, Lancaster away with how well they've done this season. And even if we're saying their playoff hopes are over, it's still again one of the toughest away games in the calendar. And then there's Warrington away potentially Easter Monday, which, I mean, if Witten get it to Easter Monday, they've done amazing, by the way. So if that game is still got something riding on it for both teams, then they've done a really good job. I think, to answer your question, if Witten can beat Lancaster on Saturday and Basford are beaten by Matlock and that gap closes to 5 points, you do wonder if Basford will start to get a little bit twitchy because they're in really poor form anyway. I think 8 points is enough for them not to be worried too much just yet. The other thing I would add into the mix is for Witten to stay up, you're asking them to go on a run that they've not done at all this season. So you're asking them to kind of completely bend the form book. So it's still a tall order, but they've made one or two eyebrows raise, haven't they, after Tuesday. And let's see what happens.
Now, dear listener at home, Simo joined the call slightly earlier than everyone else, which was, I was scribbling away, doing some pre-show homework, as it were. And Simo was there at the very moment I started to write down, so what's Basford's last game of the season? Oh, it's just Witten away. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Look what's happened there. Witten away. It could be a huge game, that, James, that last game of the season. Don't come up with the points per game business. I've looked at the other leagues. No one's coming close. And if Witten Albion get to 42 points or 43 points, they're more than safe. I'm saying that now. I'm going to commit to it, James. But just a reminder where we are versus the other Step 3 leagues for that 20th spot.
But it's where I can put my spreadsheet away because we can. No team can go down under that situation now. Good. Even if Witten do get all the wins, it's no. No other side can catch him in the other divisions now. So it is officially two down, subject to FA regulations and stuff like that. But it is going to come down to that last game of the season, I think. And I think a lot of sides above him, including Radcliffe, Stalybridge and Hyde, will be glad of that fact. I feel that, again, just on the merit, they've got a bit more of a buffer themselves there because of that match.
To be fair, this league this year has utterly smashed it. When I was going on when I was looking at the non-league paper and the tables, they're miles ahead. So we have to give credit to Basford, to Gainsborough, to Radcliffe, to Stalybridge, because versus their counterparts in other leagues, Luke, I'll come to you, because Hyde United, another team, to get 46 points and to be 16th is just phenomenal. It really is. It goes to show you just how tight this division's been this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when Hyde beat Witten and then he beat Gainsborough, I think they went up to about 14th and then midweek all the teams won and they went back to sort of 17th, 18th again. And a lot of people have been worried amongst the fan base going, well, if we finish the bottom, and it's like, well, if we finish the bottom, we're fine. And after Hyde beat Witten, Simo will tell you yourself, there just seemed to be a big relief around the stadium. And they followed it up with a win over Gainsborough. And then obviously they dismantled Ashton United last week, which caused Berkey to become Nostradamus and go, I'm calling it now, we're safe. And it's like, we're probably safe last week, Berkey, so he's hardly got his crystal ball out there, has he? But no, it's been the fact that we've had to get to 46 points to say we're safe shows how competitive it's been, because when Hyde were down there and Nick Spooner came in, we're kind of going, well, will a couple of wins do it? Will 38 do it? And then gradually going up, but 46, I think 44 is probably the cut-off point now, isn't it? It's to feel generally relaxed.
Yeah.
Just to say about Berkey, Berkey unfortunately is not here to defend himself, and that's his own fault. So let's move on.
I didn't say it. If you listen back to it, to the recording, you did say
He won't, because he's not on the show. Anyway, Simo, just to finish off that discussion there about those teams who've been worrying a bit over recent months about that possibility of that 20th spot. Just congratulations to... We have to... Because we're not going to mention it, obviously, after this show. But Mickleover, wow. Nantwich have been brilliant, haven't they? And Nick Spoon has done enough. And we should mention Stalybridge Celtic as well, because it was looking a bit hairy a couple of weeks ago. But then, you know, a brilliant set of results recently. So, I mean, these teams have played their part this year in making this MPL division very, very competitive.
Yeah, and you know, I can tell you as somebody who's follows Witten, it feels a little bit sometimes like it's been death by a thousand cuts, because you look at the results at the end of each match day, and each you know, kind of like everybody, you're pouring over results, you're pouring over fixtures, you're kind of going, that's who Witten need to catch, that's who Witten, and the name of that team must have changed about five or six times in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and the reason for that is because of these runs that teams have pieced together. And now, I suppose, again, if you look at it from a Witten perspective, they're thinking, well, all these teams of others have proven if you can string together 3 or 4 wins, you get rewarded to it. So can we do that? Can we kind of have our turn of doing it? Well, why not? But you perhaps have left it too late. Well, we'll find out when we're in the next fortnight. But I think you're right. I think given the stakes and given the pressure that teams have been under, the way in which kind of those revivals have been rewarded is massive respect to the managers and the players who've done that under pressure, because there's been various times on the show over the past couple of months that we've gone, you know, where's Nantwich's next win coming from? Oh, look at Mickleover's running, and you know, Hyde, another one who've gone on a run, and they've all done it, haven't they? And so it's just brutal, this division. Every manager will you know, it makes me chuckle each week. They all say, like, you know, you're mad if you're betting on games in the Premier Division, because it's just so ridiculously unpredictable. But it's a fact. It is. And I suppose that's what makes it exciting still in the next couple of weeks, because there's still so much to sort out. And it's very, very hard. Results just make you look like a mug week after week after week. That's what kind of, if you're Witten, you gotta cling to. But yeah, it's been really hard for them checking the results and going, how have they won there? And it's happened time and time and time again.
Everyone's raised the games, haven't they? Everyone's kind of raised the game. And like Simo said, they've coped with the pressure well, which is remarkable. Normally there's one team who, you know, I mean, Aysford probably have sank a bit too late for Witten to catch them, but there is always one team who kind of sink and, like I say, with 12 games to go, don't win another game. But when it's looked like that, the team have pulled out a couple of wins on the bounce, haven't they?
Well, I'd say radically for loss at Stalybridge, I think, they'd have been in the same situation, really, watching over the shoulder. I think that would be game against Witten Albion would have been a lot bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it's what Simo just said there about it being, you know, unpredictable. Well, we've just done a whole show, dear listener, predicting outcomes in this league. So
we've tried.
Yeah, we tried. Don't feel sorry for the managers. Don't feel sorry for the players or the fans. Feel sorry for the pundits, because we have to embarrass ourselves week in, week out, making predictions and getting it wrong. So whatever you thought of this show, don't get in touch. It was just to fill an hour, and I think we've done a good job. But a big good luck to everyone who's got stuff to play for in the closing weeks. Just a reminder, we will have a Step 4 show out this week as well, discussing the various promotion races in the West, the East and the Midlands. We'll have a weekly show next week as well, with results roundup and a fixture preview for the what's the... Simo, you're good at English. What's the third week? The third final week? What's that? What do you call that?
Oh, I don't know if we have a word for that, do we?
Well, there we go.
Try something.
Yeah, try something is what we're calling it. But a big thank you to James Hayes, Social Media Officer for the Northern Premier League, for joining us this week. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Ben, for having me on. Caps lock off.
God, thank you. Scared me then. Simo, big thanks for joining us, mate. Have a lovely weekend.
Pleasure as always.
And Luke Edwards, big thank you for joining us on 26-0. And where are you off to this weekend? We already covered it. Bamber Bridge. Coverage this weekend. Plug it quick.
Yeah, it's on 26nil.com. Me, Burke, and hopefully Liam Tong with us as well. So.
Wow, great stuff. Well, big thank you for joining us. Big thank you as well to Chris Wilcock and Dave McNabb for joining us on this week's show as well. But we've got to go now. And good luck, everyone. We'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.